Okay, Rabbi Sai, as you'll recall, yesterday we focused on the fact that the Kohen Gadol, who was segregated and sequestered for 7 days prior to Yom Kippur, he resided that entire 7 day period in a lishka that was called Lishkas Parhedrin. And the Gemara told us that historically it used to be called the Lishkas Balvuti, which means the chamber of the nobility, of the aristocracy. That's when the Kohanim Gedolim were choshev. However, in later generations, in the second Beis Hamikdash, where many of the Kohanim Gedolim were not choshev, because they had paid their way to become Kohanim Gedolim, they switched the name from Lishkas Palvuti to Lishkas Parhedrin. What does Parhedrin mean? So Rashi explained yesterday, it means Pekidei HaMelech. Pekidei HaMelech means low-level clerks and officers, such as the people that were inspectors in the shuk, in the stores and in the marketplace, to make sure that people didn't overcharge or the weights were all correct and things of that nature. If you want to think of a low-level clerk today, it would be a parking meter person that gives you tickets for parking in the wrong spot, too early, too late, or this, that, and the other thing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Parhedrin was not considered to be a very prestigious position. It was a low-level position, a government position. And the Gemara told us yesterday that they would change every single year. In other words, the government appointees had to find new jobs every year, as well as the Kohanim Gedolim, unfortunately, in the second Beis Hamikdash, many of them passed away within a year of their being crowned as Kohen Gadol, so therefore it was also a revolving door, and that's how it got the name Lishkas Parhedrin.
What language is Parhedrin and Baluti?
I'm assuming in Greek. So the Gemara now tells us of a real live Parhedrin people, not our Kohanim Gedolim, but the real McCoy low-level clerks. And the Gemara tells us that on other Mishnah, we learned in the Mishnah. A Mishnah in Mesechtes Demai. What is this all about? We all know that if you go and buy tavua from an ama oretz, there's halacha of demai. Now, what means halacha of demai? We're going to see shortly in the Gemara, and this is well known, that Yochanan Kohen Gadol did kind of an informal census and discovered that the vast majority of the Amiratzim did give Trumos and Maisers. However, there was a significant small percentage that gave Truma but did not give Maisers. What's the reason why they were Mafresh Truma? So we'll see in a moment in the Gemara, because for two reasons. Number one, because if you don't give Truma from your Tevel, and a person eats Tevel, Chas V'Shalom, there's a din of Misa B'Dei Shemoyim. Shemoyim means, Chas V'Shalom, he gets heavenly death, and this is not a pleasant outcome.
I get that, the word Misa.
Yeah, you got that. It's a Misa Masa. So people are not very happy with that. So that's why they decided to go and give the Truma, to make sure that that's taken care of, and as well as Truma is considered to be a very, very Chomer Dik Inyan, something which has a great degree of Kedusha, because only Kahanim allowed to eat from it. We, non-Kahanim, are not allowed to go and eat from it. It's an Isser on a Zar. And if Chas V'Shalom, a person is a Zar and he eats from Truma, again there's a din of Misa. So when they heard Truma, automatically, Chil Ura'od Yoychezun, they would go and be full of awe and trepidation, so they made sure to give Truma. Another reason why they gave Truma is because Truma is a very inexpensive tax, if you will, heavenly tax, in the sense that you're talking about Masa Rishon or Masa Sheni, this is 10%. But Truma Gedoyla Min HaTorah, you only have to go and give Chita Achas Pateris Sakri. You can have a huge heap of Tvua and just give one Chita, one stalk, and your Yotzer. And even Midrabanan, you only have to go and give one out of 40, one out of 50, one out of 60. One out of 50 means 2%. 2%, you know, is nish geferlach. However, when you're talking about giving another 10% and another 10%, that's already. And therefore, there was a significant but small group of Amaratzim that unfortunately did not give the Maisers. And therefore, Chazal were mesakin that if you go and buy from an Amaretz, then automatically you do have to go and be Mafresh Maisers. Fine. And that's called Demai. Demai means Do Mai. I don't know. Is it Trumas Maisim? Not Trumas Maisim. No, Do Mai. So truma you don't have to give, but you have to give maisis. Now, as we'll see in a moment in the Gemara, even though a person has to be mafresh the maisis, mafresh means that he has to go and separate the tithe. Normally, what do you do with maisa rishon and you have to go and give it to the levi? Normally, in the third and in the sixth year, you take off maisa oni, you have to give them to the aniyim. That's in terms of the religious rule that you have to remove these tithes. However, in terms of the choshen mishpat means the relationship between odom lacha veiroi, if you don't give these tithes to the levi and to the oni respectively, you're not over on an iser. I wouldn't say you're not over the iser. You have a second problem. The second problem is you're stealing from them. Since this maiserishon belongs to the levi, give it to the mice, to the levi. If you don't give it to the levi, you're depriving the levi of what is due him. You're depriving the oni of what is due him, the mice or oni, and therefore it's a form of gezel, if you wish. However, because of the fact that it's very possible that the Amoritz did give the Maisroitz, roiv of the Amoritz ma'asunhein, they did give. It was just because of that small percentage. The Chazal were machmir, and they said, demai, be mafresh. However, after you mafresh it, you can keep it. You can be mafresh the Maserishin, the 10%. In year 3 and 6, you mafresh the Maiser oni 10%, certainly a little bit less than 10%, and you can go and hold on to it. So you did the hafroshos, and you keep it for yourself, unless and until the levi or the oni can prove that this was really mechuyev min haTorah, that the Amoritz doesn't know anything about maisers, and he didn't give, and nobody gave on his behalf, then they would be able to get it. But otherwise, hamoitzim mechaveri olav harai, they wouldn't get it, you can hold it for yourself. We have now two more types that we have to deal with, and one is Maaser Sheni, and one is Trumas Maisa. Maaser Sheni, as everybody knows, in year 1 and year 2, and in year 4 and year 5 of the Shemitah cycle, you have to take 10% and take it up to Yerushalayim, or alternatively, if there's just too much, you can go and be podit or mechallit on mois, and take the money to Yerushalayim, and with that money go and buy their whatever food items you want for yourself. And after Yom Tov is over, or after you've finished your vacation in Yerushalayim, you're going home, if you still have Maaser Sheni money left, you can go and give it to the local populace so that they can go and use the Maaser Sheni for eating food. Fine. So, L'choira, everybody has this mitzvah Maaser Sheni. Besides that, we have another din of Trumas Maaser. Trumas Maaser means that when you give Maaser Rishon to the levi, then the levi has to go and give Maaser min ha-Maaser. How much is Maaser min ha-Maaser? Effectively, it's 1% from the original tzvua. Because if you start off with 100 bushels, and putting aside that you have to give truma to the kohen, if you have 100 bushels, you take 10%, you give it to the levi, that's 10. Now the levi in turn has to go and give 1 out of that 10%. So it's 10% of 10%, which is, gives it to the kohen. So just like we Yisraelim have to give to the kohen, the Levim also have to give to the kohen. And how much do they have to give? From whatever they receive Maaser Rishon, 10%, which is from the original Tavua, 1%, because it's 10% of 10%. Good. So now, if in the case of the Mai, I was giving the Levi his Maaser Rishon, then he would have to give. But since the Levi doesn't get it, then I have to give. I, the owner or the purchaser of this tzvua that I bought it from the Amoritz, I have to go and give that Trumas Maaser, and I have to go and give it to the Kohen. And Trumas Maaser, in many, many respects, is just like Truma Gedoyla, also cannot be eaten by a Zar, just like Truma Gedoyla cannot be eaten by a Zar. So, let's start now off the Mishnah Tanan Hosam HaNachtoymen. Nachtoymen are professional bakers. Go back one, Mohammed. Yeah. Right here. No. Don't go for it. It's just three. No. Yeah. Okay. Tanan Hosam. We learned the Mishnah Sechas Demai. HaNachtoymen. Those are the bakers. Loi Chayvu Oysen Chachomim. When they purchased Tavua of the Mai, the Chum were not mechayiv them lahafrish ele Trumas Maaser. They only have to give Trumas Maaser. The Truma they don't have to give, because you never have to give Truma if you buy the Mai. The Maaser Rishon and Maaser Oni they were able to keep for themselves. What about Maaser Sheni? We'll talk about that in Yesh Hashem in another minute on the Omer Aleph. In the meantime, they only have to give Trumas Maaser and give it to the Kohen. And of course they have to go and give chal. Chal is really independent of all of these chiyuvim. Chal has to do with when you go and bake the tvuah and you make it into an isa, into a dough. So you have to be mafish chal and isa if you bake a large enough quantity. And chal is even a gear today. And many of our women today go and bake chalas, they bake bread, whatever they bake. If they bake it in large enough quantities, they have to go and give the challah. Today, unfortunately, we don't give the challah to the kohen because we don't know exactly what the kohen is. He might not eat a bit tahara. So we burn the challah. But there's a mitzvah of being mafresh challah and isa even today. Says Yimar, and even here in Chutzlaitz. Says Yimar, Mishlai mitzvah megedoy l'loy. I understand why the chacham were not mechayiv the nachtoimen. Or for that matter, anybody to give truma gedoyla. Why? The sign you learned in the Bais. Lefisha sholach. The chol gevula Yisrael. The Gemara doesn't tell us who was sholach, but Rashi filled it in. Yoichanan koyin gadol. He was the one that was goyzer al adamai, and he was the one that did this unofficial census. He was sholach b'chol gevula Yisrael. But Rashi ain't mafrishin el truma gedoyla b'vad. That all of the amaratzim all automatically gave the truma gedoyla without any hesitation. Now, mas rishon mas oni nami loy. The nachtoimen, those are the professional bakers. But for that matter, says Rashi, even your regular, ordinary Israelite, your ordinary Jew, did not have to go and give Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani. When we say didn't have to give, that means he didn't have to hand it over to the Levi, didn't have to hand it over to the Ani. He had to be mafreshit, but he could keep it for himself. Because the whole issue of giving it to someone else, says Rashi, is only a din of Sofik Gezel Leviim V'Aniim. And because of the fact that I don't know for a fact that this Amoritz didn't go and give the Mises, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. So therefore, you have to be mafreshit, but you can keep it for yourself. And if they want to insist on giving it to them, if they can prove that the Amoritz didn't give Mises, then you give it to them. But otherwise, you hold on to it. Pray tomorrow, Elamasu Sheni Nifreshu V'Nasku V'Nechlu B'Yerushalayim. What's the reason why the Chachamim didn't require the Nachtomen? It's only the Nachtomen. Everybody else had to go and be Mafresh Masa Sheni and take it to Yerushalayim, or be Poda and take the money to Yerushalayim, but not the Nachtomen. Pray tomorrow, why? Let's go be Mesakan that they should be just like everybody else. Amar Ulam Parhedrin. That's why we brought this Gemara. I was wondering, how does this Gemara fit in with the 7 days before Yom Kippur, etc.? Because we spoke about Lishkas Parhedrin. Parhedrin means the low-lying officers and clerks. Oh, the clerks that were in charge of making sure of price setting and price gouging and things of that nature, they would go over to the Nachtomen, Mitosha Parhedrin, Halolu Choyften Oysan. They would give him pech. Literally, Choyften Oysan means that they hit them. I don't know if they actually hit them, or threatened, or at least
harassed
them.
Hit them with a fine.
Oh, hit them with a fine. Very good. So, financial hitting. So Kol Yud Beis Chodesh, for the 12 months that they reigned. As you know, every low-level clerk wants to be a Grusa Knacker during his period of time. He's only going to be there for 1 year. So that 1 year, he wants to show his power and authority. Oh, you've been a Grusa Mensch. Kol Yud Beis Chodesh. And they would go over to Nachtoim and they would say, Michru Bezoil, Michru Bezoil, go and lower your prices. Don't go and charge $4 a loaf of bread. Knock it down to $2 a loaf of bread. And therefore, the Nachtomim were suffering. They weren't able to go and get a decent income, decent wage, and therefore, for all of their work and all their tircha, and that's why the Rabbanim gave a special dispensation for Nachtoimim, that they don't have to go and take the Tvua up to, or don't have to be paid and take Maaser Sheni to Yerushalayim. Avada Maaser Sheni is a Chiyuv Yerushalayim. But they relied on the fact that Roiv Amaoritz Maaser Sheni go Maaser Roiv. So normally everybody else in Klal Yisrael had to go and do a mitzat sofik. But they weren't misaking this takana for the Nachtomen. They had rachmonis on them because of these lousy pahedrin that were going and threatening them with all types of punitive measures.
Why is stress?
Sorry? Yes?
Why is stress in the 12 months?
I'm assuming the reason is because he was saying that once you work out a deal with a Pahedron, the Chayri doesn't bother you anymore. The problem is, every single year you had to work it out with another Pahedron, another Pahedron. Let's get back to your question in a second. I think Brother Shai wants to ask, what's... the reason. Why did they care to go and say Mikhru Bazal, Mikhru Bazal? Of course, they wanted to go and show the Grosser Knackers. They were a big guy. Oh, see what
the
I did
Democrats.
For the exactly. See what I did for the public. Yeah. Oh, it's cheaper. I'm assuming that what they did was, Nachton would say, I can't make a decent wage on this if I'm going to sell it so cheaply. No. Well, you know, a bissel. We could work things out. Oh, work things out. So they would go, presumably, and demand all different types of bribes. If you go and give them $50, $100, $1,000, or $5,000, or whatever the number is, okay, yeah, then, you know what, your idea of selling the bread at $4, that makes sense already. You know, that's already, it's a good idea. Huh. In the meantime, of course, the Behedrin has pocketed. Now, this would work, l'chayra, if you had permanent Behedrin, just do it once. You have to go in every single year, go and pay the guy off. The answer is because every single year there were new clerks. Right. And they said, you paid my friend Jack last year. I'm Willie. I want to be paid this year. And the next Willie, the year later, says, yeah, and what about me? So therefore, every single year, every 12 months, they had to go through this charade again. Yeah, go and lower the prices. No, pay me off. You paid him off. And then presumably he was able to go and charge a normal amount. So now Barry's going to ask, if that's the case, why did they, what was the terrible economic circumstances that we forgive for them that they don't have to take the Maaseh Sheni Yerushalayim? The fact that they have to pay these enormous, exorbitant bribes. If you have to go and grease the wheels to go and be able to charge a normal amount for your bread. Presumably, that's the reason why the Chum had Rachmanis on them, that they were losing money here and there and everywhere.
So they were taking a cut? Is that what it was?
I'm assuming.
Because at our closes, they just wanted to put price controls on.
So why would they cut them? Why did the Behedrin care so much? Michal Bezal.
Well, maybe they were communists.
Okay.
In Chicago, the unofficial motto was, where is mine? Ubi es mia. So I think these Behedrin moved to the Midwest after that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And would somebody who was, let's say, a chaver, would he say that's okay? Or would he himself in his house say, you know, that's what the Yochanan Gadol, but I'm still going to be choshesh, and I don't want to be eating.
But anyone who's not a nachtom has to go and...
No, but he buys from Angel Bakery.
And?
And he relies on the heter of the Yochanan Gadol. And so now he wants to know, what should I do? You know, do I want to take an extra mile? Is there a mile of them to...
What you're asking is whether the customer who purchased from the Nachtam, does he have to be Mafresh, Maaseh Sheni, and take it to Yerushalayim? Is that correct?
No, not the Nachtam. I'm talking about someone who purchased from him.
A purchaser from the Nachtam. Purchaser who's buying the bread from
right.
the Nachtam.
If he wants to be Machmer.
Does he have to go and take Maaseh Sheni to Yerushalayim? It's an excellent question, and this is a machloikis among the Rishonim, the Rambam and others, whether or not the customer has to go and take it up to Yerushalayim. But clearly the Nachtam is off the hook.
Right.
So that's, and if you look at the last Rashi over here, well, let's go to two Rashi before the end. Choyvten oisan, right? That's 6-7 lines before the end. Choyvten oisan hanachtoimen, they would go and give pech to the nachtoimen, either physical pech, harassment, financial pech, kol yud beis chodesh every 12 months, mishana v'shana, hamemunim mischadshim, new memunim every year, new appointees, umachbidin, and they put on them pressure, limtsoi alilois, to go and find some sort of justification, ligvois momoin, to be able to collect money, kishahein mischadshim. So to me it sounds like that they were demanding bribes, or demanding permit fees, or application fees, to be able to allow you to continue acting as a baker, and charging the amount that you are charging. Right? That's what it sounds like.
I don't know if this is covered. It says here, prices were made so low that the bakers would have no choice but to ignore them, and then they could charge fines.
Ah, okay. Fine. And what do you think they did with the fines?
They collected, every tax collector collected a certain amount above his quota.
Exactly right.
So the official said, you bring in this much money, anything above that is yours.
Exactly.
So the more they fined, the more they kept.
Exactly.
That's
a very fine solution to the understanding. Anyway, so the Gemara says, my Parhedrin, who are these Parhedrin that we spoke about? Pursi, says Rashi, the last Rashi, Pekidei HaMelech, these were the clerks. So that's how we got into all of this, because of the fact that Lishkas Parhedrin means like these clerks. And we go and write. Talk to you more about. Now we're coming back to the Kahanim Gedolim of the first base of Middash and the second base of Middash. What does it say in the Pasuk? And this is a Pasuk from Mishlei. No, yeah. Yiras Hashem toisif yomim ushnois rishoyim tiktsorna. Yiras Hashem, a person who has Yiras Shemayim, then he is zoichet to Toysef Yomim, to long days. Kodesh Baruch Hu goes and gives him days. Shnoyis Hashem, Chas Hashem, person is a Rasha, Tiktarna, Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to cut it short. What is this referring to? Yiras Hashem, Toysef Yomim, Zem Mikdash Rishon, Sh'omet Arba Meyos V'Eser Shonim. The first base of Mikdash stood for 410 years. Says Argmar Yud Ches Kohanim Gedolim. Throughout the entire 410 years, there were only 18 Kohanim Gedolim. Now that's our Girsa. You notice that there's an Aleph right before the Yud Ches Kohanim. That Aleph takes us to the Hagoyes Hagro, because he also has an Aleph there. And the Gro says, "V'leishim shuboy ella shneim osar." Instead of 18, there are only 12. And then we go to this big Toises down below. There were only 8 Kohanim the entire first base of Midrash.
Wow.
8 Kohanim. Now, if you think about it, if you divide 410 by 8, you get to roughly 50, right? It's actually 51. 51 to 2 eighths. Not approximately, it's exactly. Anyway, but it's approximately, because 51 to 2 eighths. So, what's the point over here? When did a Kohen start doing his Avodah? When he was 30 years Ulamala. That was a Kohen Hedget. Presumably a Kohen Gadol didn't start off as a Kohen Gadol, but only after his father passed away, or after the previous Kohen Gadol passed away, and therefore, presumably, the new Kohen Gadol started at the age of 40 or 50. And if you're telling me that he had another 50 years doing the Avodah, that means the Kohanim Gedolim all had longevity. They lived into their 90s, or perhaps over 100, because of the fact that these were Erlech Yidin. That's the year of Hashem Toises Yalim. Kodesh Baruch Hu adds to their days. This happens to be, by the way, the three Girsois in our Gemara, 18, 12, or 8. There's a Toises Masechtas Zvachim, where Toises says that they were actually 18. Not 18, and not 8, but 80. This is a Toises on Daf Kuf Aleph on the base. And he says something very, very interesting. As we know, it says in the Pasuk that Pinchas ben Eloz ben Aharon HaKohen, because of his kanoos, that he went to go and kill Zimri, and the woman that was with him, Kogli. So it says about Mehini Nois Eloi as Brisi Sholoim. Now, for those of you who are familiar, in the Sefer Torah, the vav of Sholoim is a vav ketia. Ketia means that it's shortened. It's not the normal long vav. There's a cut in the middle of it. And since there is a cut in the middle of it, what we have now is you can read the word Sholoim as if it's with a yud. So says Toisvis that altogether, all of the Kohanim Gedolim of the first Beis Hamikdash and all of the Kohanim Gedolim of the second Beis Hamikdash were not only Enikloch of Aharon HaKohen, but also of Pinchas ben Elozer ben Aharon HaKohen. All Kohanim, all.
What was the name of the redistortion?
I'll say in a moment. So now, in the Gemara, we're going to learn another second, which we haven't gotten to yet. Then the second base of Migdash, there were 300.
Mm.
Says Toisvis, that's the source, that there were 380 altogether. 300 by the second, 80 by the first, and that's Merumas in the word Sholem. How is Merumas in the word Sholem? Because the word Sholem is Shin is 300, Lamed is 30, skip vav for a moment, Mem is 40, that gives you 370. Now, if you have the vav, that makes it 376. But since the vav is vav ketia, it's cut short, it looks like a yud, 370 plus 10 is 380 altogether. So therefore, Tosha says, based on a sefri, that there's altogether 380, 300 plus 80. Anyway, but obviously that disagrees with our Tosha here, which has a different cheshbon, not 380, but 308, according to this bottom Tosha.
So the
Bab and the last
one. Numbers of Kohanim
Gedolim. 101b, and the last one.
Sorry? The number of Kohanim Gedolim?
The number of Kohanim Gedolim. So getting back to our Gemara here. So
what
we're
is
saying.
The
Vav in the Chumash. It's in the beginning of Parshas. Parshas Pinchas. Yeah, that's where. That would be the appropriate place to find it. Right?
Yeah.
Want me to find it here? Okay, you look for it, and if you can find it, let me know. So the Gemara says now. Again, Mikdash Rishon, because there were Erlecha Kohanim Gedolim of over 410 years, where Shimshu Boy Ela Yirches Kohanim Gedolim, 18 altogether, or 8 or 12. Usnois Shnois Rishon Tiktsarna, the years of the Shoim were cut short. Zemikdashani, Sheomad, can I help give you a hand? Sheomad Dalid Meyos the Esrim Shana, the second base Mikdash was longer in duration than the first, it was 420 instead of 410. 10. V'shimshu boy yoyisim mishaloish meyos kahanim. More than thread. You found it?
Yeah, but
this is shalom. There's no asterisk over there saying vav ketir. It's right before shayim.
Okay.
Where in Parshas Pinchas are we looking?
Very closely.
Oh. Yeah.
You would think that that was just a printer mistake, you know.
That's why the star is there. Okay. And that star says Vav Ketir. Vav Ketir means that it's cut. Okay.
And that still would be kosher. It would be, wouldn't be a problem.
So then why go
and call over the rav and say the vav is ketir?
Why don't they cut it if they have to make it?
It's a good question. But here, in this Yiddish Chumash, they do have it cut, right?
Yes.
The Goyish Chumash doesn't have it.
Right.
This one. Right? When we were kids, when you had multiple, you know, you had Limudei Kodesh in the morning and you went to school, and Limudei Kodesh in the morning and you had Limudei Chol in the afternoon, we called it secular study. So they used to go and say, in the morning we learn Yiddish, and in the afternoon you learn Goyish. So that's the English.
Where nowadays they don't even have in the afternoon.
The whole thing is about.
You see, it's cut.
I thought it was just a shorter vav. Oh, okay.
In fact, there were some sofrim that wanted to make a shorter vav, and then they said that it would be a problem because it would look like a yud, and then it would be a possible sefer. That's why you have the shalom. It's cut here in the middle.
Interesting that the art school doesn't even.
You see, third line, fourth line is shalom.
They play it safe.
It looks like a.
This is also an art scroll. This is art scroll in Hebrew. This is art scroll Hebrew. Okay.
So the Americanos.
You can ask for a refund. Okay, so let's continue on, Rabbi Isaac. So, again, first, based in English, we have altogether 18, 12, 8, or according to the choices in.
Well, I was holding on to
in art scroll. You want it back? If you need it, I'll give it to you.
That's Spanish, this one.
Spanish?
Don't Spanish. No. This is my baby.
Good. Anyway, so that's the first base of Midrash. Now let's go to the second base of Midrash. This is Shnois Rishon Tiktana. We're talking about guys. We're talking about the bad guys who were Kehanim Dom in the second base of Midrash. They're being Vishani. Sha'omad Dalad Meis V'Esrim Shon. It stood for 420 years. V'Shimshu Bo Yoisim V'Sholish Meis Kehanim. More than 300 Kehanim. So you're saying, what, 410 divided by 300? Well, year and a little bit. No. Same with him. You first have to subtract. Mem Shon Hashim Shimon HaTzadik. He was Kohen Gadol for 40 years. You have to go and now subtract Ushmoinim Shishimish Yoichan Kohen Gadol for 80 years.
That means he was 110 at the minimum.
At the very minimum, exactly. And presumably 120, 130. So if you deduct Mem plus Shmoinim, 40 and 80. How much is 40 and 80?
120.
If you start off with 420, and you subtract 120.
We're left with 300.
We're left with exactly 300. But we're not done yet, like we said. After 300, Eser Shishimesh Yishmoel Ben Havi, he was Kohen Gadol for 10 years. The Amri Law, and others say, Yud Aleph Shishimesh Reblozer Ben Charsay, if you were to add the 10 plus the 11, 21, subtracted from 300, that gets you to 279. And even if you don't subtract the 11, you only subtract 10, so you got 290. The Gemara says, figure out with the arithmetic, if you only have 290 years left, or 279, and you're dividing it by 300, maybe not by a full 300, maybe you have to take off Shimon HaTzadik and Yochanan and Yishmael and Papi. So we're down to 297 Kehanim, but you only have 290 years left, or 279 years left. Say, V'chashoy, when you find Kol Echa V'echa L'hoi Tishnosai, that the average Kohen Gadol wasn't Kohen Gadol for a year. Less than a year. What's the reason why? Because they unfortunately were bad guys. Now, we're going to start off Umr Yochanan ben Tursim Neymar Chor V'Shiloi. Now, what does Chor V'Shiloi have to do with the Kohanim Gadol? So you notice that there's an Aleph over here, and the Aleph brings us the Bach, where the Bach tells us that we left out about three or four lines of text in the Gemara. Look here in the Bach. See the Bach over here.
I was reading in English.
I know you were. See over here, you have the Bach. So the Bach adds the following. Ben Torsah, lama. What's the reason why the Kohanim Gedolim are considered to be of the second base of Midrash? Rishoyim, Because they didn't get the Kohuna Gedola because of their high stature and status in Ruchnias, that they were people of great merit, but rather they paid for it. The Amrav Asi, Tarka with the Dinri, Ayla le Marta Baspaisis Liyani Malka. Marta Baspaisis was a very famous, wealthy lady.
She died with the soilus.
Exactly, Marin Gitman, after which she walked out because she asked the messenger to go and bring this the white, and then he said, came back with black bread. So finally she went out on her own, and then she either stepped into Tsoya or she stepped on the gravius of Reb Tzadik, and that unfortunately he was sick, and anyway, she became sick and she
got money up in the air.
Yeah, they got some ice. Anyway, so Ayuli Marta Baspaisis, so she paid. Liyanei Malka, Yanei Hamnalik, who was from the Beis Chashanoim, she paid it. How much did she pay? Tarkavit a dinri, a huge amount. And the Ukme, the Yeshua ben Gamla, Bekani Rabavi, until they appointed Yeshua ben Gamla to be the Koyin God. Aha, so we see from this, what's the reason why all of these guys in the second base of ministry are considered to be Rishayim? Because they had to pay their way to become Kehan and Gitaim. And now the more said the Amr Yechim and Torah in the second. Yes, Vazukti.
An obvious question.
What's the obvious question?
So we're talking about, let's say, 290 to 79. At some point, people had to realize that living when you're dying, why would they want to do it?
You never heard of the word COVID? You only heard about it last year, about COVID-19.
You're COVID 20, then it's less than 12 months, and boom, you're out. I'm not a balance man.
My Mashkiach, Rav Volba Zachar Lebracha, who's a tremendous person, said a famous story, maybe it's a mushel, but it's a beautiful story, that a person was coming to the town of, the city of Vienna, and he wanted to go and meet with Mr. Rosenberg. He comes into shul, and he asks the people, do you know where Mr. Rosenberg is? That's nothing to do with him, man. I don't know. Nobody knew. Okay. So he figured he's going to start going on his own. And he checked out the telephone book, or he asked people, yeah, there's a Mr. Rosenberg that lives on this and this street. Goes, knocks on the door. He says, I'm looking for Mr. Rosenberg. Okay. Which Mr. Rosenberg? Mr. Rosenberg, the Rosh Hakul, the president of the Kange. That's a gun if I got it. Get out of here. He's not related to me. I have nothing to do with him. Slams the door in his face. Okay. He hears there's another Rosenberg 5 blocks further. Knocks on the door. Mr. Rosenberg, yes, yes. Are you the Mr. Rosenberg, the president? Yes. Don't even mention his name in my presence. Get out. Goes on to the third address. Again, Mr. Rosenberg, the same reception. This happens 5 or 6 times until finally he gets to the right Mr. Rosenberg. Ah, Mr. Rosenberg, you're the president. Yes, that's me. I'm the Rosh Hakul. Yeah, come on in. After a couple of minutes, he says, Mr. Rosenberg, do you know your reputation in town? What people say about you? This one says that you're a gamut, and this one says you're a gamut, and this one says you're a tzeach. Why do you want to be president? Why do you want to be Rosh Hakul? He said, no, for a bit of COVID, to get a little bit of COVID, it all pays. It's hard for you to understand. When you become Kohen Gadol Mi'at Hashem, you'll understand, oh, I'm the Kohen Gadol. Hybrid. Anyway.
He can't become Kohen, but maybe his grandson.
Oh, you never know. So we continue on. That's the reason why we're getting into this Gemara now, and we're going to go, unfortunately, into the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, which is very well-known Gemara. Why do we bring this Rabbi Yechim Tursa? Because the first member that we just brought, the one that was skipped by the Gemara, was in the Bach. That's Rabbi Yechim Tursa. We bring another Rabbi Yechim Tursa. But before we continue on, did anybody ever think, why did Rabbi Yechim Ben Tursa get such an interesting name, Rabbi Yechim Ben Tursa? So, there happens to be a short Tursa Yishonim, all the way in the bottom of the Amid. If you look at the last two lines, Rabbi Yechim Ben Tursa, Sikta, Mefarish, and his Gair Al Yedei Parah.
He became
a Gair because of a Parah.
Yes. Right.
Hashem Kosev Rabbi Yehuda Ben Torsa. What does that mean that he became a Gair based on a Parah? Yes. So, in the Psikta, for those of you that don't have a convenient copy of the Psikta, but the good news is that in the Hebrew art scrolls, I don't know about the English one, but the Hebrew art scroll brings the whole story, Ba'arichus, that there was a Jew.
Yeah, number 14.
There was a Jew that owned a parah, and he sold the parah to a goy. And the parah worked very diligently from Sunday through Friday. When it came Shabbos, the parah refused to do any malacha. Mm. And the goy went to the Jew and said, hey, Jew, you sold me a lemon. This parah doesn't want to work. So the Jew said, did he work from Sunday to Friday? Yes. Oh, I know the problem. The Jew went over to the parah, whispered in the ear, until now you belonged to me, you were a Jewish parah, you belonged to a Jew, you weren't allowed to do malacha. But now that you work for the goy, you're allowed to do malacha. Parah stood up, and did as much malacha as the goy asked him to do on that 70th day. The goy was so astounded, he realized, wow, this Jewish religion, not only the Jews are makbid, but even the Parah knows that there's an Indian of Shabbos in the world. Can't believe it! As a result, he was Megayah. The word Tursa comes from the word Tor. Tor is a shore in Aramaic, and therefore that's how he got his name, that he became Jewish as a result of the Tursa, the Parah. That's the story here in Tursa Shalom, and that's number 14. The reason why it's number 14, because the gematria of the word Zohov, Zion Hey Days, is 14. This is a golden shot. That's why it's number 14.
The beautiful good children's book that on this, I read this years ago. My oldest child, and it illustrates a beautiful children's book.
I can imagine. Okay, so we continue on. Amri Rechman Torsim Neimachor V'Shilai. What's the reason why? So this again has nothing to do with our whole sugya. We spoke about Birchim and Torah, about the 300 and about the fact that the Kahanim Gedolim bought their way into second place Mikdash, and now we talk about Birchim and Torah, and we're going to talk about Nebuch, other problems that occurred in the times of Shiloh and first place Mikdash, second place Mikdash. On Birchim and Torah, Nei Machor v'Shiloh. There was a Mishkan in Shiloh after Yidden came into Eretz Yisrael, and that Mishkan lasted for 369 years. It became Chorib in the times of Eli HaKoin. Eli was the Kohen Gadol. That's the time of Shmuel. Shmuel was the Shoifet of Klal Yisrael. And the story abroad, of course, the Mora is now going to deal with Psukim that appear at the beginning of Shmuel. I'm sure all of you learned this in your youth. So the Gemara tells us, Nachamol said, Rebbe Yechman Torsa, what's the reason why Mishkan Shilu was Chorev? And they show you Ba Shnei Dvar. There were two major sins. Number one, Gili Arroyos, and number two, Bizoyan Kachin. What's Gili Arroyos? Dechsev, Ve'eli Zokin Mi'oy, V'shom Ha'etz Kol Ha'she Yasin, Banam L'cho Yisrael Ve'etz Ha'she Yishki V'nasa Noshim Ha'tzoy V'es Pesach Oyel Moyed. Eli HaKoyin was very old, and he heard about the terrible things that his sons, Chofni and Pinchas, were doing at that time. One of them was that they were doing Lebnei Yisrael, Chol Yisrael. We'll see what that is in another moment. But they also did Ashi Yishkevun Es HaNoshim HaTzoyvais. Pashup Shat means Yishkevun, that they lived together with the women that were standing online Pesach Oil Moyed to go and bring their karbanos. That there was a demand, you want to bring a karban, you have to go and live with me. Says Yimar, V'yavgav Yom Reb Shmuel Ben Achmen Yom V'yechanan, Kol Oim Ben Eili Chotu Eini Ele Toye, Chas Hashem. They were not choyte to the degree, Chas Hashem, that they would go and propose and proposition the women to live with them. Chuli. But rather, Mitoich Sheshohu Es Kinein, Miyot Malol and Akosav Kilo Shachvo. What does that mean? We know that all women that gave birth, a Yoledes, has to go and bring a carb. Same thing applies to a woman that was a Zova Gedoyla, has to go and bring a carb. A Zova always has to go and bring a Khan, two Oifes, and by Yoledes, she has to go and bring normally a Behema together with an Oif, but if she happens to be an Aniyah, she has to bring two Oifes, and that's called a Khan. Okay, so now, when they had to go and bring their Kinim to the Beis HaMikdash, Chofni and Pinchas would dilly-dally, and they would say, young lady, come back a little bit later. She'd come back a little later. We're busy now. Come back a little bit later. So they would miss their flights, and they would never be able to go and book back a flight or to get the train or whatever on time because of the fact that the Kehanim would, Rashi says, misrashlin b'hakravasan. That means they were lazy, and they would delay and delay and delay. What would happen? Eventually the carbon was brought, perhaps the next day. In the meantime, the women, unfortunately, were stuck and were not able to get home in time. And because they were not able to get home in time to live with their husbands that night, so it's Malin Akosa, the Torah considers it, Kivishachvim, by denying them their rights to go to their husbands. It's as if they lived with them themselves. It didn't actually happen, but it's a virtual type of thing. So that's what the Gemara called Gilui Arayis. And as we know from the Sechta Shkolim, this apparently was this problem was solved in the Beis HaMikdash because they had the 13 shofaros, and one of the shofaros was for the kinim, and therefore they would put their money in. And the Gemara says that the Kahanim's reasoning, we didn't have to worry about it, that in future generations, the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kahanim always brought the Kahanim that day, so the women were able to go home. They didn't have to deal with this issue. So that was a wonderful remedy when the Beis HaMikdash was built. Anyways, continue on the Gemara. Bizoyin kachim. What's a bizoyin kachim? Dechsev. Kam beterem yaktir nesach. Achiluf. Ubanar hakoyim. Vyoma liish hazivach. Tano basal litzlis hakoyim. Vala yikach. Mimcha basal mavushal. Kiyim chai. Vyirmila vish. Katzi yaktirin. Vyoyim hachiluf. Vekach lecha kashir ta'av nafshecha. Very rare that the Gemara should go and quote word for word two or three psukim in a row, but that's what we have over here. What the story is that we learned back in Hilchos Kodshim, Sidri Kodshim, that you're only allowed to go and eat from the carbon after the Haktoris or Emurim. When the Emurim were put on the Mizbeach, from that point on, you were allowed to go and eat from the Kodshim. So when we say you're allowed to eat, normally, if you're talking about kodshim kalim, then the balim allowed to go and eat. For instance, a karm shlom, a karm toid. If you're talking about the kehanim, you're talking about a karm chattas and a karm oshim, that's a kodshim kudishim. But even in the kodshim kalim, they get a major share, and that share is the chos v'shosh. But nobody's allowed to go and eat from that until after the haktoras ha'imurim. So it says in the pasuk, kam b'tem yaktira zecheva, even before they put the ha'imurim on the mizbeach. Bonar ha'koyim, v'yomu le'isha zevech, the nar, meaning chofti ha'pinchas would come, they would say to the person who's bringing the carbon, t'na basa l'itzlis, I want my portion now, I don't want to wait. I don't want to go and take cooked meat. I want to have raw meat. I want to be able to go and roast it the way I want to cook it. The person who's bringing the carbon says, after the emurim on the mizbeach, come back. No problem. I'll be happy to give you. The omaloi and the koyin would say, no, I want my portion now. If you don't give it to me, I'm going to take it against your will. So that's what our Gemara tells us, the sin of demanding their chos v'shoik, their portion, before the Haktoras Emurim. The psukim prior to this, and I don't know why the Gemara doesn't bring it, but in Shmuel, the psukim prior to this says that they took portions to which they were not entitled. In other words, the Baalim were going and cooking their shlomim, or their toida, and this is large animals, and they would put in their pitchfork and they would go and take out pieces that were not the chos v'shoik. They took beyond what they were entitled to. Anyway, this is all considered to be a bizui kodshim, and this is the bizoyim kodshim that the Gemara referred to on the Amud Aleph. Now, since we spoke about this Rabbi Yochanan ben Tursa and that Mishkan Shilai, now we're going to talk about the terrible, terrible events that led up to the Chorban Beis Hamikdash Rishon and the Chorban Beis Hamikdash Sheni. All of this is very famous Chazal, famous Gemaras, unfortunately. Mikdash Rishon and Neim Achor, why was the Chorban Nei Gimel Dvarim Shor Yubay? There were three major Averis, Avoy Dezor, Gilei Roi, Shishi Chazdam. Avoy Dezor, Avoy Dezor, Dezor, Kim Kotzer HaMatzah Mehistoreya. What does that mean? Kotzer Matzah, Matzah means a bed, or something that you lie on, Mehistoreya. There was not enough room for hysteria. What does that mean, hysteria? My kotzer matzah hysteria. Omer Yonison, kotzer matzah zeh me hysteria olav shnei reyim keechad. It's too small, too short to allow for two friends to both be in charge of this bed. The word hysteria is like to have a sorora, to have ownership rights and to have bragging rights that this belongs to me. It's too small for two people to share. What does that mean? Parshat Pshat means, you know, it's a small bed. However, Rashi says, what the Gemara is telling us in a very subtle way, is that in addition to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, in addition to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, unfortunately, they put up in the Beis HaMikdash the Tzelem of Menashe. And therefore, now we have two, if you will, two competitors, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol, together with this Tzelem, with this statue. And therefore, that's what the Pasuk is referring to, that there's not enough room for both of us as a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You can't have both a Kadosh Baruch Hu and also this Tzelem, the statue in the Beis Hamikdash.
Why of Menashe?
Why did Menashe do it?
No, I thought it was of Menashe.
Menashe was the one that was Mamed, the
Tzelem.
You see the third line? Shnei
yes.
Reim. Tzelem Sheheamid Menashe Behechel. Menashe was the one that set it up. I don't know if he set it up personally, maybe he had workers that did it for him, but Menashe was a melech. He's considered to be one of the worst melechim in history. However, there's another Gemara that says, famous Gemara at the end of Masechet Sanhedrin, that Rav Ashi said, tomorrow, Rabbi Yisai, we're going to go and talk about Menashe, Menashe, the Rosh, and Menashe.
And then after the dream, he calls him his rabbi.
Okay. So it says that that night when he was going to sleep, Menashe came to him and called him and he said, you refer to me as Menashe, you demean me, you poo-poo me. You should know that if you lived in my time, in my era, the Yetzirah Avodah Zarah was such that you would run after the Avodah and you would pick up the bottom of your beggar, the bottom of your toga, to be able to run more quickly, to be able to get to the Avodah Zarah, to be the first one there. That's how strong the Yetzer is. We cannot appreciate it, said Menashe, because there's another Gemara that says that they eventually blind and after it killed the Yetzer of Avodah Zarah. That's why we don't have the Yetzer today. But there was a Yetzer at that time. So the point is that Menashe put up the Sem, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, the two of us can get together. And the Pasuk continues on. The Gemara is only going to quote it on the next line. Took to Yomara, yeah. That's the continuation of the pasuk, and Rashi is mazbir. What means v'masecha tzara? V'masecha pasuk means the cover. Tzara is very narrow. Kiskanes when you try to go and put it all together. But the word tzara, as we know, has another connotation. Back in the Sechtes Yevamos, we talk about a tzara and a tzara that means co-wives, and therefore Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I cannot be a co-wife for Klal Yisrael together with the tzelem of Menashe. So now the Gemara says, Amrav Shmuel ben Nachmani, Kimati Rav Yonis, and I crow, Rav Yonis, and look at this pasuk, and he would understand this chazal, Bochi would start crying. He said, Amrav Man Dechsevei, it says about the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that he is so omnipotent, he has so much koyach, koynes kanei mehayam. At the times of Kriyas Yamsef, the Kodesh Baruch Hu made that the whole rushing currents and waters of the Yam should stand like a firm wall. Nasas le masecha tzara. This lousy tzelem of Menashe, this should be a tzara, co-wife. This is the drek, this is the gunish. Kodesh Baruch Hu should step on it with his foot, kavi yochel, and say, get this idol out of here. So that's why Reb Shmuel Nachmani said that Reb Yonasan would cry and say how low HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a sense, Chas V'Sholom Kaviyochel, is falling, that he's concerned about this Avodah Zarah. This Avodah Zarah is nothing. It's put in the trash bin. Because Baruch Hu says, that's my tzara. That's Saka Grosa tzara. Anyway, so what do we see from this pasuk? That at the times of the first Beit HaMikdash, unfortunately, people worshipped Avodah Zarah. And we continue on. Vaita, what about Gilei Aroyos? Tachzif.
They'd be worshipping Avodah Zarah while bringing Korbanos?
Can you imagine? And many of them were bringing Korbanos to the Avodah Zarah. Instead of having Nzin for the Kodesh Baruch Hu, they had Nzin means to have in mind for the Avodah Zarah. Anyway, continuing on. Gilei Aroyos, Tachzif, says the Pasuk. Vayomer Hashem. This is a famous Pasuk, a Pasuk in Yeshaya. Vayomer Hashem. If you want to see it on number 4 on the side. Vayomer Hashem. Yan ki govu benois tzion, v'telachna netuyos goroim, u'mesakreis enoyim. This is not referring to single girls, this is referring to married women. And what does it say about the married women? So the Gemara explains. Let's see the pasuk inside. So we explain. What does that mean? The word govu pasha means that they were arrogant, with a gevuas ruach, that they were pompous. However, the Gemara is defining the word govu over here, that they wanted to go and emphasize graphically how one woman was taller than her chavata. What would she do? A tall woman would make sure to always walk together in public with a short woman so that she would be noticeable. People would say, oh, who's that tall young lady over there? Who's that? So that they should make an impression. That's the govu. What does that mean? They would always go and walk extremely erect. In other words, not with any humility, but always as very, very proud, pompous types. They would always put up large quantities of eye makeup and shmirath to make them more attractive. And we're talking about married women, not talking about singles. They would walk very, very slowly so that everybody would notice them about these young ladies walking. So
Young married ladies.
Ekim tzad gudl means that where the heel would end, that's where the next gudl, the next thumb of the next foot would start. In other words, such a short gait, it would walk very, very slowly, foot after foot after foot, etc. Ubraglein takasna, what does that mean? Omer of Yitzchak shahoyu mevios mor vafarsamayim. They would go and take all different types of perfumes. Umenichus manalem, they would put it into their shoes. Umeshagios eitzo bachuri Yisrael, when they saw some young men around. Boyatois, they would go and, word boyatois means to kick, but over here it doesn't mean so much to kick as much as they would go and bang against the stamp against the floor. As a result, so the perfume would then be
emitted,
fine, or it's even more than that, it would be like shot out from the shoes. And this perfume would now enter into the nostrils of the Bachur Yisrael walking by, and it would enter into them ki'eres, like the venom, beko'ois, but on the side, the bach changes the girsa to mean ba'achna. Achna was the name of a snake. So this venom, this perfume would enter into their veins and into their nostrils as if it was the venom of a snake. So that shows you how women, unfortunately, made themselves as attractive as possible for the Bachuri Yisrael to go and bring on the potential of Chasashon Gini Arois. Finally, Shvichas Dom, the Gam Dom Noki Shofach Menashe Harbin Yerayis. The same Menashe that we're talking about before, not only was a big Aviv Avoy Yisrael, but he also was Nebuch a big murderer. How many people, innocent lives, were killed by Menashe? Until he filled up the streets of Yerushalayim with blood all over the number of people Nebuch that he killed. So that being the case, that's the reason why the Mikdash Rishon was destroyed. Now there's a Dalet and a Hey here of the Bach. He doesn't take out any of the words, but rather he changes the sequence of the words, so that we shouldn't lose sight of where we're holding the Gemara. We'll learn with our Gemara, but I'll try to point out in four lines where the Bach switches the sequence. So we just completed for the moment Mikdash Rishon. Now we're going to Mikdash Sheni. Mikdash Sheni, Shohi Oiskim Batoyer B'Mitzvahs. People were doing Torah, Mitzvahs, Gimel Chasadim, Neim Acharav. What's the reason why it was Charav? And they Shohi Seboi Sinas Chinam. Because unfortunately people hated others for no good reason. Just Sinas Chinam for what? Lamed Chashish Kula Sinas Chinam Keneged Shohi Shaveris. Avon Yizor Gili Yeroi Shvi Chastam comes to tell you that Sinas Chinam is on the same level as these three Averis together. That's the reason why the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. And the Gemara continues now, Rishoyim Hoyu. Now this Rishoyim Hoyu says the Bach goes back on the earlier Gemara, as we'll see shortly. This Rishoyim Hoyu, that the people that lived in the time of the first Beis Hamikdash that had these three major sins of Vayitzor Gilei Rois and Shvi Chazitam, they were Rishoyim. Ela, but they did have one saving grace, and that was Shetolu B'tchoinu B'Kadosh Baruch Hu. They still had B'tochen Hashem. Asan the Mikdash Rishon, and this is referring to Mikdash Rishon. That's why the Bach says that this really should come before the discussion of the Mikdash Sheni, because we're talking about Mikdash Rishon, finish it off instead of breaking in with Mikdash Sheni and then going back to Mikdash Rishon. So that's the whole Dalet Hey of the Bach. Anyways, getting back to Gemara, that's Mikdash Rishon Tachsiv. Rosheha b'shoychad yishpoitu b'chayaneha b'mchir yoyru unavieha b'kesem yiksoimu v'al Hashem yishanu leimar halei Hashem b'kibeinu leisav yaleinu ra'a. What is this talking about? It's talking about that the leadership was corrupt to the nth degree. Rosheha, the leaders, v'shoychad yishpoitu, if they had to go and make decisions, in other words, let's say judges had to decide, v'shoychad, they would go and take some bribes. When the Kohanim had to go and make decisions, such as, for instance, if a person is a Metzoyer and not a Metzoyer, or other decisions Kohanim to make, the Torah says, L'moshe L'gabi, making assessments for purposes of Cheirim or Erechin. Well, Erechin is not so difficult, because we know Erech playing a lie. But for Charam and for Hegdei Shois, so the Torah uses a reference to Kohanim, that they would have to make the decision, how much does this person now owe to the Bedek Abayis, to the Beis HaMikdash? Oh, B'mchir Yoyru, you paid him off, then he would make the decision favorable towards you. And the prophets, they would go and say their prophecy based on Kesef, if you paid him off. But, now why did they do that? Weren't they scared of that day when they come up after 120? Nah! Hashem is such a merciful God, with so much mercy and compassion, so much rahmanis. Nothing's going to happen to us. Anyway, I don't know what the Gemara means to go and be melitz melamed zchus in them, and to go and say they were talking bad guys, but at least they had one saving grace. Exactly. Of Aben
Erlich.
Exactly. Is that what the Gemara is trying to tell us, that they had a saving grace, or the Gemara is trying to tell us that these people are misguided? You cannot say a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Rachman. In fact, we had a Gemara not too long ago that anyone that says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Vatran, he waves all Averis, Yivatrum Ois of Chas Hashalom, that he's going to be Vatrum Meyav. He's going to have to Mevatr on his own body. He's going to be taken away. Yeah, no, so the point over here is, it could be that the Gemara is being critical and saying these people are misguided. They say, yeah, Kadosh Baruch Hu will take good care of us. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes good care of people that are Erlechid, but people that act in a corrupt fashion, they're not going to be. They're not going to go straight into Gan Eden. They're going to have to first go through the purgatory. Anyway, We're still talking about the first base of Mikdash, three big cardinal sins, Yavai Zorgi, the Royus, Shri Chazdomim, the Kriyas Baruch Hu made three gezeiros. What are three gezeiros? L'chaim. Shenema, l'chaim, b'glalcha, because of your actions. Tzion, sodet t'charish. It's going to be now like a plowed field. The whole Tzion, which referred to Yerushalayim and the Sfivois, etc., like a plowed field. Yerushalayim is going to be Iyen Tiyah. Iyen means like piles of rubble. The whole Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed. V'arabayis l'bomeis yar. And the great Har Bayis where the Beit HaMikdash is standing is going to be like the heights of a yar, of a jungle, of a forest. In other words, without any human beings, it's just going to be a wild place. This is the story of the Mikdash Rishon, number the three gezeiros of the Tzion Sod HaTichoret, Yerushalayim, Iyen, Har Bayis, L'bam Yisyor, three connected the three big sits. The Mikdash Rishon, we have a pretty mark. So you're telling me the distinction between Mikdash Rishon and Mikdash Sheni is Mikdash Rishon had the three big sins, while the Mikdash Sheni didn't have the big sins. He only had Sinas Chinam. They have Sinas Chinam. They all had Sinas Chinam. But Sinas Chinam Pusik. Megure El Cherev Hoyu Esami L'chein Tzfoik Al Yorech. What does this pasuk mean? Remember, Blazer. Everybody on them Shabbichol Mishoysin Zeim Zeh. They are Megurim. Megurim even Eretz Yisrael today. Megurim means residences. And here the word Megure means people that resided together, like neighbors. You have a Ger V'toyshev Anoich Imach, a person who's living here temporarily, I'm a neighbor. But they are backstabbing. They go and stab the backs of their neighbors after they eat and they drink, and oh, the chaim, with charoveis. Charoveis meaning, of course, swords, but not literally swords, but swords shabalashoinam, because of their evil speech about that other person. In other words, sinas chinam, they say, oh, they make as if they are best friends, but behind their backs, they go and say all types of lashon hara, all types of malshinas, all types of things to.
Stories.
Stories, exactly, to make sinas chinam false hatred for absolutely no reason. Anyway, so we see that, and this is a pasuk which is talking about the time of the first base of Mikdash. And you told me that this is only the problem with the second base of Mikdash, not the first base of Mikdash. That's only talking about the leadership of Klal Yisrael. They're the ones that had this terrible sin of the sin of Chinam. The rank and file didn't have this problem in the first base of Mikdash, only in the second base of Mikdash. How do I know that it's the Sin of Yisrael? The Sin of the pasuk, Ekvi Hillel ben Adam, Ki Hoysa Bi'ami. Tanya, Ze'ek v'hilo ben Adam yoch l'chol. I would think that all of them had this issue of the sinas chinam tamaloyme he b'chol nasi Yisrael. Now the Gemara brought this pasuk but divided it up into three portions. If you take the pasuk in its entirety, if you look down at number 8 in our Gemaras, you see here on the side Ze'ek v'hilel. The Halel ben Adam ki hi hoisa bi'ami hi b'chol nasi Yisrael megurei el cherev hoyu es ami l'chein tzvoi kal yorech. So how did we know about the sinas chinam from the words megurei el cherev? Those words follow immediately after b'chol nasi Yisrael. So nasi Yisrael, they had that issue of the sinas chinam in the first place. This was not a problem of the rank and file, but unfortunately it spread in the second place to everybody. Reb Yochanan Reb Blazer the Amri Tavayim. Those that lived during the first base of Mikdash, they did not hide their sins. Unfortunately, they were bad guys, but they did it publicly. They didn't try to closet themselves from the outside, look like tzaddikim, and behind the closed doors, acted like Rishon. Unfortunately, says Rashi, Niskal Avoinim Loi Hoyu Machasim B'Shem, they were Toichoi Kivaroi. If they were bad from the outside, from the inside. Everybody knew these guys are mobsters, these guys are gangsters. They go and serve Avodah Zarah, the Shvichas Dam, Gilei Arayos. Unfortunately, it was well known. But as a result, there is a saving grace to all this, because of the fact they didn't go and try to hide and act as if they happened to be Erlich. The Skala Kitzam, shortly thereafter, the Torah tells us, what does the Torah tell us? Apostle in Yermia, Rashi brings it, Lafi Melois Lebovel Shivim Shana Efkoid Eschem. Kodesh Baruch Hu said that the Chon Beis Midrash will only last for 70 years. After 70 years, Ezra and Nehemiah will take Eden back to Eretz Yisrael. So the Rishon Yishin is Gal Avoinam, because they publicly did their Avedis without trying to hide under a mask of being a tzaddik. It's Gal Kitzah, so at least their Kate, the end of that Korban, became known in the Torah. The Achronim that try to hide and act as if, oh, I'm a great guy and I didn't do anything wrong. Rashi says, B'nei Mikdash Sheni Rishoyim Hoyu B'seiser. They were bad B'seiser, just like this case of the sinner, where they act as if, oh, sure, best of friends. Then Chas V'Shalom, after that, there's Sinas Chinam. That was done B'seiser. Nobody should know. Because of that, Lo Nesgala Kitzam. So their case is also not, until today, we're still suffering from the Chorm B'nei Mikdash Sheni, and we don't know when it's finally going to end. Amr B'yoychanan, Toi B'tziporim Shal Rishoyim Mikreise Shal Achroim. The fingernail of the Rishonim is better than the keres, than the stomach of the Achrayim. In other words, he's saying that in a sense, their Aveira was less than that of the Achrayim. Amalei Rish Lakish, Adrav Achrayim Adifi, the one of the Achrayim is much, much worse. Why is it much worse? Avagav the Ikashibut Malchis Koaskim. I'm sorry, the other way around. Adrav Achrayim Adifi, the later generations, in other words, the generations of the second base of Midrash, they are better. In which respect are they better? Avagav the Ikashibut Malchis, even though we live through terrible times since the base of Midrash until today, through the Crusades, through the pogroms, through the Spanish Inquisition, through the Second World War, the Shoah, all of that, Koaskim Torah, you still have Yidden throughout the world learning Torah. Isn't that a tremendous, tremendous chus? You see the Mesiras Nefesh after all these years. So, l'choyer that the later generations are better than the earlier generations. Amaleis, he said, Bira Techiach. Look at the Beis Hamikdash. The word Bira is a reference to Beis Hamikdash. Bira Techiach, that is your Eidus. Shechaz Rishonim, it did return for the first ones. L'chaz Rishonim, we still haven't gotten it back for the later generations. In other words, the second Beis Hamikdash, the chait of the Eden still hasn't been forgiven. And that's why we haven't seen the third Beis Hamikdash yet.
So the Maskan Gemara is that the first generation was better.
The Maskan Gemara is a machlokes. Some say that the first guys were better, and some say that the second guys were better.
The beer was that after the first korban, they rebuilt. After the second, they were still suffering.
Now who says that? That's Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yechon respectfully disagrees. Rabbi Yechon says, it's important to Rishonim, the first guys were better than Kreshi Achorim. But we're not finished yet. Shaul Lewis Rabbi Lothar, Rishonim Gedoyim, Oy Achorim Gedoyim, which ones are the better guys? Om Lehem, to do an Eichem Bira, look at the Beis Hamikdash. Eke Diyami, Om Lehem, Eidechem Bira. You don't have to look at the Beis Hamikdash, but the Eidus is the Bira. You look at the Beis Hamikdash, the fact that it's still Chorim, that's the best Eidus, that the Rishonim were better guys, and we are the worst guys.
That's what
this Mandi Yama holds. It doesn't say that Rabbi Yechon changed his mind. Rish Lakish have a sach biyadein. Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rish Lakish and Rabbi Blaza, because Rabbi Yochanan says, "Tevis Chepanish Rishonim, the Rishonim are better than the Kreshi Achrayim." So you're saying, so this part is consistent because the Bira Ein Chanami. You're right that the Gemara is saying Bira Techiach is a sign that the first guys are better and the second guys are worse. But Rish Lakish says that the second guys are better and the first guys are worse. So would we agree there's a machlokes?
But how does the beer
take care of business? The beer, what does Rish Lakish say about that?
Yeah.
I guess that, unfortunately, he's not around. You can't ask.
We
have no answer. It remains a machlokes whether the first guys are better than the second guys. Anyway, to go and strengthen the resolve of those that say that the second Beis Midrash people are better, and not only Beis Midrash, the subsequent generations are better, we have to learn as much Torah as possible, so we're Makayim, that notwithstanding the Shimon Malchis, the Democrats, but the Republicans, but all the other Mishigon, Kasim Torah, we continue learning, and we ignore all of the political ramifications, etc. Anyway, getting back to Yomar. Rish Lakish Avsabi Yadena, Rish Lakish was swimming. He had another famous story of swimming. Okay, then anyway, Rish Lakish is swimming. Also, Rabbi Bechana, Yohav Le'yoda. Rabbi Bechana stuck out his hand to help Rish Lakish come out of the water. In other words, Rish Lakish, it wasn't a swimming pool that you could easily just hold on to the banister. He was swimming in the Yarden, in their currents, and Rabbi Bechana extending his hand. Amalei. So Rish Lakish, in a very friendly way, said to Rabbi Bechana, Eleko Sninilchu, Kodesh Baruch Hu hates you guys. He doesn't mean you in particular, Rabbi Bechana, but rather Rish Lakish was an Eretz Yisrael Dikah. Rabbi Bechana was from Chutzlar, from Bavel, and he said the Kodesh Baruch Hu hates the Babylonians. Why? The Chutzlar said the Pasim, Choyim hi nimna aleha tiras kesef. The Imdelesi notzer aleha luach arz. So says Rish Lakish Pshat in this pasuk that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying to Klal Yisrael, it's now at the end of the 70 years of the Chorban Beis Hamikdash Rishay. Im Choy Mehi, if you gentlemen, Klal Yisrael, if you're going to be oiled to Eretz Yisrael en masse, like a wall of people, then we'll let your scars will be able to come build on top of you a beautiful edifice out of kesef, out of silver. Then Delasi, however, if you're like a Delas, now what means like a Delas? So Rashi says, if you look in the middle of the Rashi, kidal sois shar sheish by shnei dlosois, like when you go into a big hall or a big shul that it has two doors next to each other, kiseach echad v'chaver soyge kach alisim lechatzoyn kach alisim lechatzoyn. He didn't all come up en masse. He only came partially. It's even less than 50%. It was a much smaller group. But the point is, just like people coming and going, only the coming people, not the going people. Only some people came and not the rest. And if you're going to act like a delis, like these swinging doors back and forth, not to lea luach ores. Instead, we're going to go and plant this luach eres. Eres is a cedar tree. If you'd have all come together like a choim in the times of Ezra, nimshal to mikes, and then you Babylonians would be compared to kesef to silver, shein rekev shoyvipay, that rekev meaning mildew and mold and worms, etc., they do not have any shlita over kesef. Kesef remains eternal. Even today, they find every once in a while archaeological digs. They go and find silver coins from 2,000 years ago. And they remain the same kesef. Ashiv shalisim kidaltsois. However, now that you've come up like the doors, in other words, only partially, nimshaltim keres, then you are like a cedar tree. But we think of a cedar tree as being these mighty trees. But it's a cedar tree, sharekev shalit by that. Unfortunately, the rekev has had a shlita, has had its control over this eris. Rekev normally means spoilage and rotting.
Tarvin rekev by nazir, tame yaholos.
Exactly. So, but now, what is the eris that we're referring to over here? My eris, umr ula, sasmagor. The sasmagor. My sasmagor, umr abba, baskor. What does that mean? So Rashi says the sasmagor was the name of a worm. And this worm was probably something similar to a woodpecker, that it would go and carve out the wood from
termites.
Within, I'm sorry?
Termites,
even better. Like termites that go and hollow out the tree until it's only left with the outside bark. So from the outside it looks like this shining, beautiful tree, but all you have to do is just push it with your finger and you realize there's nothing to it. There's only the outside. It's hollow. Same thing is, in the first base of Midrash we had Nevuah, but the second base of Midrash we only had a Baskoi. So Baskoi was like the outside klipa, the outside bark of what used to be great nevuah, great prophecy. So that's what the Gemara is referring to. If you want to look quickly at the Rashi, my erez. Rashi's halfway down the omud, not halfway down the Rashi, he's halfway down the omud. My erez, my nimshaltim erez dekoma. What does it mean that these fellows that came up only partially, they have a status like a cedar tree? Omud sasmagor, mechtosoi umegarroi mi befnim. Masasmagor shame tolas. It's the name of a worm that undermines the tree from within, like a termite, and eats everything up. Maisasmagor kolim alama nimchulu by shame of masmagor the inyan shriya shchena. What is it referring to? The gabi shriya shchena. Amrav baskar nishtai lehu kasha nisha mina eres mitzas wood. From just like from the eres is virtually nothing left because the termites have eaten up the whole thing. What's left from the nevu is just number chapsa baskar. Back to the Gemara, six lines on the bottom. When the final Nevi'im passed away, no more Ruch HaKodesh. But he still had left over Baskoil for the second base of Mish. Did Reish Lakish even talk to Rabbi Bachana out in public? The Mordiar Yisrael, however, Beluzer was considered to be one of the greatest poskim of his generation, Mordiar Yisrael, because he was the famous posek for a whole Hilchos Nida. Reish Lakish wouldn't speak to Rabbi Beluzer in the street. Why wouldn't Reish Lakish do that? Not because he was a snob, Chas V'Shalom, but rather the man, the Mishtoi, Reish Lakish Ba'adei, Bishuk, Yavalei Iska B'loi Sahadi. When somebody saw someone talking to Reish Lakish, they automatically assumed if Reish Lakish is talking to that individual, he must be the tzaddik, the tzaddik hador. So people would go and give him money to invest without asking any questions, without any documents. They would just give him, Iska here, I'll be happy to invest with you $10 million, do whatever, B'loi Sahadi, without any witnesses. So, why would Reish Lakish speak to Rabbi Chana in public? Therefore, Rabbi Papa said there's a mistake. You have to throw in one more individual in the picture. Reish Lakish have Uziri, Rabbi Chana have Rabbi Lazar. I would talk about Reish Lakish and Ziri. The Gemara doesn't tell us what was so special about Ziri, but the art scroll says in the footnotes that Ziri was considered to be the Tzaddik Gadol, the greatest in that generation, the most famous Tzaddik. So the only one that Reish Lakish would possibly speak to would be Ziri, but not Rabbi Chana. And therefore, that's possible. Rish Lakish and Zir. Or it could be Rabbi Bechana, but it wasn't Rish Lakish talking to him, it was Rabbi Lasa talking to him. When they came in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and Rish Lakish told Rabbi Yochanan about the fact that in the second base of Migdash, there was no Nivuah. And the reason is because of the bad Babylonians, that they didn't come up to Eretz Yisrael, and because of that they were like the Erez with the Sasmagar, and therefore they're bad guys, and that's the reason why there's no Nevuah, we only have a Baskot. So Rabbi Yochanan Lavai, that's not the reason. Inami Saliku Kulam Meyezu, even if everybody would have come up Kichoyim in the times of Ezra, there would not have been the Shechina of the Nevuah and the Shechina Tchsev. Because it says in the Pasuk, Yafta Lekim Leyefes V'Yishkin V'Holei Shein. What does that mean? That Afal Gav the Yafta Lekim Leyefes. Even though Kadosh Baruch Hu allows, Yefes, as we know, was one of the three sons of Noah. And Kadosh Baruch Hu said that Yefes will get a shtickle reward, the Yafta Lekim Leyefes. What's the Yafta Lekim Leyefes? The top Rashi says, Shizochu Parasim, live nois by Sheni. Who was the one that permitted Klal Yisrael to go and build a Bayit Sheni? It was Korash, who was the Melech of Paras, of the Persians. So they were Zoicha to help and contribute, and they gave the permits, and they gave the support, and they gave money, etc. Ein Shechina Shoed Ela Migdash Rishon, Shebana Shleima Shebam Mizare Shel Shek. So Avgav Yafta Lekim Leyefes, even though Kadosh Baruch allowed for the beauty of the second base of Migdash to be in part as a result of the efforts of the Parsian, yeah, the Yishkin Shoyra Bali Shem, but the Yishkin Bali Shem, the Shchin is Shoyra Bali Shem, Shem meaning the descendants of Shem, which means the Yin, we all come from Shem. Shlomo Melech was who was born to Shem, the Kadosh Baruch Hu Shoyra Shchina in the first base of Migdash, but unfortunately there was no Shchina in the second base of Migdash, only the Pascha. And Mitzvah will continue tomorrow. How do we know the Parsoi come from Yafes? That's continuation tomorrow.
Exciting.
Have a wonderful good day, everybody.
So, how is it?